morning. I want to ask all of our kids, I hope you have had time to get your names and all ready to go. And we're going to do something a little different. We're going to have all of you. And I think we have about 35 kids, so I think there may be more of them than there are of us. But I want you guys to all come up on the stage this morning. So come on, if you're a little shy and you think, oh, I don't want to do that. Well, there's other people that are going to be thinking the same thing. Just come up. I knew Grant would be the first guy up here. Just find a seat over here. We're going to have a little bit of a lesson today that I think you guys are going to really appreciate. I mean, look, there's like an army coming up here. It's crazy. Jade, you better get up here. They'll maybe call you out. If you have dresses on, you may want to sit in the front row, whatever you want to do. Kind of curious just to see what they end up looking like when they all, with no order. Jade, find a safe friend that can help you out here. See how long Crosby can make it. How long do you think, Bailey? Hey, this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about something that I think is going to, that you're going to think about, that's going to relate to you guys going back to school. I think sometimes we come to church and everybody, you guys probably think that church is for all of them. Because look at them. They're old and they seem like they know what's going on and you guys just kind of, they run the show. But this morning we're going to be reminded that you guys are part of our church. That this isn't your church someday, that this is your church now. And that the Bible teaches lessons that actually relate to you while you're in school. And so this morning, Crosby, this morning, we're going to talk about friendship. Because I think when I went back to school every year, that was, nobody wanted to acknowledge that, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it. But you want to go see your friends, right? I mean, you look forward to seeing your friends. And I don't know, we couldn't Facebook each other because, you know, I'm old. Or Instagram or whatever, you know, we weren't connected. So maybe it lost a little bit of its luster, but there's something about seeing friends connected to each other. Hey, we're going to watch a real quick video. I think you guys can see it back there. It's about 45 seconds long, and I saw it this summer, and it made me well up a little bit because I thought it was a pretty poignant example. Can't see it, Deb. Uh-oh. So have you guys learned what technical difficulties are yet in your schooling lesson? There it is. All right. Go back to the beginning there, Deb. Some of you probably saw this. Can you skip back to the beginning real quick for us? This is for a trip to the state playoffs in baseball. Here it is. Hey, guys, watch the video. I'm not going to lie, when I saw that, I felt like a little girl. My ties were all teared up and crying. And if you guys didn't see what happened, the guy struck out. The guy had to play, but it happened to be his best friend. And so instead of running to celebrate with his team, the first reaction he has is to go just give his friend a big hug. Isn't that a great illustration of what friendship is? So all year this year, we've been working through our board up here. And you guys can kind of see it up over your head. You have all these different people that we've been talking about. And all these different people from the Bible. Sarah. Remember Sarah, Abraham's wife? Kind of this great faithful student, or a servant who kind of had to struggle with doubts. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Jonah and how Jonah was swallowed up by a whale. But we talked about the real issue was he didn't trust God and he didn't really believe in how faithful God was to all his people. We talked about the disciples. We did that on Easter Sunday. I think the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and we talked about how they got to see the risen Christ. Well, today we're going to talk about a guy that maybe you have not heard of that much. What's it say? Jonathan. When you think of the Bible, you probably don't think of guys named Jonathan. You may not even think about that as a biblical person. But Jonathan. Hey, guess what? Jonathan was actually a really good friend. He's captivated now. I think it's the hair that's scaring him. How many of you know David? King David, right? Everybody knows King David, but not everybody knows about Jonathan. Jonathan was actually King David's best friend. He was his best friend. You probably didn't even know. I'm going to pass this back. You guys want to pin this on the board? I'm going to empower our old people back there. Dalton, I'm sure you'll come up with a creative way to stick that on the board. Jonathan was David's best friend. And we're going to find out how God used Jonathan and his relationship and his friendship with David to secure the future of his kingdom. That there is a godly friendships. And we're going to talk about those a little bit. How many of you guys have a best friend? Probably all of us, right? Some of you have probably lots of best friends. What you're going to find when you get older is all your parents and grandparents, they're stuck with friends that they work with. And that always isn't a good pool of friends. When you're in school, there's all kinds of great friends to find. And for some reason, it seems like the older you get, the harder it is to make friends, to keep friends, to maintain friends. And so what I want you guys to hear this morning is that while you guys are at your schools this year, God wants you to be good friends, and he wants you to take the example of Jonathan. Now, before we get started, you need to know about three different people. One of them's on our board, one of them we're going to talk about today, and one of them we're going to talk about in a couple weeks. The first person you need to know about is Saul. Remember Saul? He's up there vertically in the top. Anybody remember anything about Saul? Gavin, you remember something? Anybody? Oh, wait, he's going to call me. Nope. Remember, Saul was the first king of Israel. He was the very first king. God had the people had cried out to God, we want a king, and God didn't really want to give him a king. He said, I am your king. You don't need a king. And finally, he said, you know what? I'll give you a king. And so he goes to his prophet Samuel, and he says, I want you to go and anoint Saul the king. And Saul was a pretty good king for a while. He was humble and meek. But somewhere along the line, it all kind of went to his head, and God rejected him as king. The second person you need to know about is David. How many of you know about David? Everybody knows about David. We're going to talk about David in a couple weeks. David was the second king over Israel. He was the king that God chose to take Saul's place. And the third person we're going to talk about, who do you think it is? No. Come on, Bailey, hang with us. You're getting ahead of us. Good guess. Jonathan, right? The guy that we put on the board, Jonathan. Now, Jonathan is kind of stuck between Saul and David because Jonathan is actually Saul's son. So Jonathan's dad is, who is what, Trevor? The king. So he's the king's son, so kind of a big deal. And then you have David. David is Jonathan's best friend. And so he's caught between his best friend and his dad, who's the king. Listen to what the Bible says about the way that Jonathan and David felt about each other. 1 Samuel chapter 18. After David finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son. There was an immediate bond between them. Have you ever met somebody like that? Like you first meet them, and you're just like, man, this guy is really cool. This person is really cool. That's how David and Jonathan were. As soon as they met each other, they were best friends. From that day on, Saul kept David with him and wouldn't let him return home. And Jonathan made a solemn pact with David, because he loved him as he loved himself. Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David together with his tunic, sword, bow, and belt. Then, what do European soccer players do after their games? They switch jerseys. That's kind of what Jonathan and Saul David do. They switch jerseys. Well, not really switch them, but they give them the tunic. They're trying to express how much they care about each other. Because one of the things we're going to find out today is you really need friends. Everybody needs friends. And some of you are going to have really easy time making friends. And some people it's going to be really difficult. And some of you are going to be friends with lots of people. And some of you just need one or two close friends. And some people are going to find difficulty making friends. And you know what? They may not always admit it, but they're the same way. Some of them have a lot of really close friends. Some of them have one or two. And some of them feel like they don't have very many friends. Jonathan reminds us friendship is important. And sometimes you have to stick up for your friends. Have you ever had to do that? Where you have to kind of speak up for your friends because they're kind of back against the wall? That's what happens to David and Jonathan. This is Dalton in the back. You have your Bible verses? You ready to roll? Did you bring them with you? All right. So Dalton's going to read a couple Bible verses for us. So read the one from Proverbs chapter 18 first. This is kind of a good one to kind of get us started, get us rolling. Everybody listen. Thanks, Dalton. Hey, you might want to stick close. You have a couple other ones to do, right? What was that last part that he said? There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I don't know that I've seen very many brothers that are closer than Colton and Tyus. You guys love each other. It's ridiculous. Look at this. They love each other. Somewhere, you all have friends that are going to be even closer than that. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that you're going to have friends that are even closer than brothers. Now, let's just have a moment of honesty to the old people. How many of you have had friends that are closer than your family? Just nod your head. Like, you may not believe it now because I know your families are really close, but as you get older, you're going to meet people, and they're just going to, they're going to watch out for you, and they're going to be close to you, and that's what Jonathan faces. He's torn between his dad and his friend because, as it turns out, Saul was not very crazy about giving up his kingship to David, right? It's like the president saying, okay, you're the one that's supposed to be president. No! So Saul is very angry with David, and as a matter of fact, Dane, Saul tries to kill David. Imagine that. Your dad tries to kill your best friend. Now, I'm going to guess that this doesn't happen to you in real life, but there might be times when you have to stick up for your friends to do something very difficult. So listen to this. This is crazy. It's in chapter 19 of 1 Samuel. Saul urged his servants and his son Jonathan to assassinate David. What does assassinate mean? To kill, right? He wants his son to kill David. What he doesn't know is that David's his best friend. So Jonathan, because he was a good friend of David, told him what his father was planning. Tomorrow morning, you've got to find a hiding place out in the fields, and I'm going to ask my father to go there with me, and I'll talk to him about you, and then I'll tell you everything I can find out. So what's he doing? He's being a good friend to David. He said, I'm going to find out what's going to happen so that we can save you, because I don't want anything to happen to you. The next morning, Jonathan spoke to his father about David, saying many good things about him. The king must not sin against his servant David, Jonathan said. He's never done anything to harm you. He's always helped you in any way he could. Have you forgotten about the time that he risked his life to kill the Philistine giant? What was that guy's name? Big giant? Goliath? Hey, did you forget about Goliath? Did you forget about what happened there? You certainly were happy about it then. Why should you murder an innocent man now? What's he doing? He's speaking up for his friend. He's saying, you have no right to kill David. But one day when Saul was sitting at home with his spear in his hand, the tormenting spirit of the Lord suddenly came upon him, and as David played his harp, Saul hurled his spear at David. You didn't know the Bible had crazy stories like this, did you? He threw a spear at David to try to kill him. David dodged out of the way, and the spear was stuck in the wall. And he fled and escaped into the night. Now, in the next chapter, Jonathan really protects David and lets him know that his father is out to kill him. Jonathan replied, David earnestly asked me if he could go to Bethlehem. He said, please let me go, for we've a family sacrifice. My brother demanded that I be there. Please let me get away to see my brothers. That's why he isn't here at the king's table. Jonathan actually lies to his dad to protect his friend. He lies to his dad. He says, oh yeah, he had something to do because David was supposed to be at this banquet. And all of a sudden, Saul figures out that his son has betrayed him, that his son has chosen David over him. And so listen to what happens. Saul boiled with rage at Jonathan. You stupid, and you can even read the New Living Translations. There's something in there that I'm not going to read. This is in the Bible. You bad person, he swore at him. Do you think, I don't know, that you wanted him to be king in my place? Shaming yourself and your mother? This is strong language, isn't it? He's accusing his son of bad things. As long as that son of Jesse is alive. Who's the son of Jesse? He said, as long as David is alive, I can't find my spot. As long as the son of Jesse is alive, you'll never be king. Because remember, this is what we forget sometimes. In the old days, in a king, who took the place of the king when he was dead? Right? When King Chris Lewis dies, we're stuck with King Dalton. It would be okay, though. Jonathan has the right to the... So if God has rejected Saul, Jonathan is the one who has a right to the throne. But because of Jonathan's faith in God, God has already chosen David. He doesn't even care that much. Listen to what his dad does. So at last, Jonathan realized that his father was really determined David. Saul hurled his spear at Jonathan. Remember, he threw his spear at David, his original target, but now his anger was against his own son. That he threw his spear at his son because his friend was more important to him because of his relationship to God than even his dad. That is friendship, right, church? That is being a good friend. Saul tried to kill David. Jonathan betrayed his father by helping out David, point out that Saul, to the point that Saul tries to kill him. Dalton, let's read Ecclesiastes. The next point we have this morning is, you really need friends, right? Right? Sounds like a Lion King song or something. You need friends. No, don't ruin the story! Bailey, we're going to get there in a minute. Lovely. Perfect. So you hear that read at the weddings a lot, about how two are more important than one. You need friends. David, everybody raised their hand and said, yeah, I've heard of David. We know David. Well, you know, David wouldn't have been king if it wasn't for his best friend Jonathan paving the way. That's how important friends are. That God can use friendships to get his will done. And the key is to be a good friend, right? That's one of the lessons I hope you learn this morning, is that God wants you be a good friend. Like he wants you. When your teachers look around and they say, who are the really good friends? I hope they point to everybody up here on stage and say, yeah, they're good friends. They're good friends. Kellen, you got to say something? Well, so everybody, when they get older, dies, and one of the things that happens at the end of the story, David finds out after he becomes king David's best friend. Yeah, David finds out that Jonathan and his dad, Saul, die. And David is heartbroken, not just about Jonathan, but about Saul too. We get to see a good story, kind of a window into David's life, that he cared even for Saul, even the guy that had tried to kill him. But you know what David did because he was such a good friend? Later on, and we don't have time to read the story, but later on in the story, David wants to try to find something that he can do to honor Jonathan because he was such a good friend, right? You know, sometimes we put monuments up or statues to try to remember somebody who was a very good person. So what David did is he found out that Jonathan had a son. And he was living as a hermit way out in poverty by himself. His name was kind of funny. It was Mephibosheth. Have you ever heard of that name? Grant, say it. I want to hear you say it. Mephibosheth. Was such a great effort, though. Mephibosheth. I remember one time I preached a sermon about it, and I worked like all week trying. Mephibosheth. It's a hard name to say, but it's a really neat story. He was a crippled guy. I remember Ryan, his leg was crippled, and he just was poor. And David sought him out just because he loved Jonathan so much, and he wanted to be true to his friend. Friendship is a powerful, powerful thing. I want you guys to look around the stage. Look at everybody that's up here. You guys go to school, and a lot of you don't go to school together. Almost none of you go to school together. And you have different friends. Val had a great comment up here and just talked about how we just kind of have our different lives every week. But when you guys come together on Sunday, when you guys look around on the stage, these are all people, these are all children whose families love God. And we all gather together for worship on Sunday because we love God. And God desires us to be good, close friends to each other, even more than friends. The New Testament talks about God's people as brothers and sisters. Remember we talked about that there is a friend that's closer than a brother? Well, your spiritual friends are like that. Dalton, you've got one more verse to read, right? From the book of Philippians, Paul talks about his beloved family of believers in Philippi. And listen to the language that he uses. Listen to this. Yes. Did I give you the wrong one? I like the way you looked up at your parents to see. I have it right here. Philippians 1, verse 3 to 6. Thank you, Dalton. Very great. Very good. So did you guys catch that? Every time Paul thought of his brothers and sisters in Christ, he thanked God. That's what a good friend is. It's remembering that you have the friends that you have because of God. And Jonathan gives us this great story to illustrate how we should be good friends to each other. One of the reasons I wanted you guys to all come up on the stage this morning is we've been going through the whole year. We're almost through August, so we're like eight months through. And every Sunday we've talked about somebody who plays a really important role in God's kingdom, right? John the Baptist. He was there before Jesus kind of started his ministry. There's Tamar and the criminals on the cross and Saul and Hagar and on and on and on the list goes. And sometimes you may think that all the things that God did that were great were a long, long time ago. But this morning, one of the things we want you to know is that you are every bit as part of God's kingdom as all of those people. And so as we finish up this morning, these guys in the back are going to help. All right? So go ahead and stand up. And they're going to put your name on the board with all the others. So if you guys want to get up, find a place to put them on there. Because this board is not about people who did great things in the faith that's any different than the people of faith that are doing great things today. And some of you are very colorful, and some of you wrote your names very quickly. But hopefully you got a chance to put your names up there. So put your name up and then just kind of have a seat back on the stage real quick. Hopefully the rest of you sitting out there get the symbolism of what this is. It's a powerful statement about our church embracing all the love and creativity that our children bring. Which, by the way, while we're talking, when they went back in the back, I could have asked all of you all to go back and write your names, and it wouldn't have been as quiet as it was when they went back. That was amazing. We may just leave that table up every week and have them draw. Put your names up and then kind of move out of the way so everybody else can get there. You can have a seat if you're done. Just right up here. Yeah, we're going to do a couple more things. Ben and Marina and Claire and Samuel, when you guys get your names up, why don't you guys kind of make your way down this way? I'm excited to see what this looks like when I get it all up there. Tyus, why don't you put some of those up high? Because I think the bottom is going to get pretty full by all the little guys. Oh, you're not done. Have a seat, man. Go ahead and sit down for a few minutes. We got like one more thing to do, and then we'll be done, Dalton. We will be done. Go ahead and have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat. Everybody sit down. We're almost there. Come over here. Yep, stay on the side. All right, guys. Hey, we're be done. We got like one more thing to do. So as I was going through preparing for this morning, we've had this tradition for years and years and years. Ben, did you get a Bible? Did you and Samuel get a Bible? So I think you guys are like the first graduating seniors where we've taken these guys. Marina, you came in third grade, second grade, so we haven't known her quite as long. But we've known you all for very long. So these are our seniors. And as I thought about it, as we were looking through, I thought, well, we have four kindergartners that are coming up this year, and we have four seniors. So rather than our elders or me or anybody giving them their Bibles, I think it's much more appropriate for you guys to hand out our Bibles to our incoming kindergartners, who I think are all sitting over there. And so what we're going to do is one of the seniors is going to call your name, and you guys can come over, and your family can come up with them, and we're going to line up over here as a beautiful kind of testament. One of the reasons we do this is because we want you to know that God's Word is important to us, that it matters. As you learn to read and learn more about the world that God has made, that you also focus on reading and learning to learn about God's Word. And so all of you who have started kindergarten have moved on should have a Bible from the church somewhere. So, who's first? Just because you have it. Gavin, if you want to come over, Thomas says, come on up here, guys. Get your Bible. Get it from Claire. And you can come over here with your mom and dad. They'll be over here. All right, Marina, who's next? Violet, the smallest family here at Allen Creek. Go towards the end. Step right down there through that. Kellen, you can. Hey, Violet, come over here with your mom and dad. Violet's going to do what Violet's going to do. Hey, Violet, you can come over with your mom and dad. Or you can sit there. Samuel, who's next?
Grant.
I know he will not hesitate. Come on up, Cottrells. Hey, you hit it that hard, Grant. Right over here. Your mom and dad are coming over here. Right there. Ben, who's last? Jay. Come on up, Jay. Come on, Carhoffs. That is the most false advertising of a personality I've ever seen. This is a picture of our church. It's a picture of youth and energy and faithfulness. We're excited for all you guys. All started school? Everybody got started in their kindergarten so far? Grant starts, when do you start, Grant? Tuesday. Are they ready for you, Grant? Hey, if you guys want to, if we'll take your families, if you guys want to come up front here, let's do this. If your families want to come, just come down here. This is our prayer spot, right? When we have it. You guys come down here, our prayer spot. Your families. And then all of you guys, come around your friends here, okay? Come around. Aubrey, you want to pray up on the mic. Clark, Luke, Trevor, come on up. You guys come down here. And then if the rest of the church, if you guys want to come up and just encircle these families. The beautiful thing about that video, I think, is everybody can relate to it. Whether you have a kid or not, you were all there. You've watched yourself go through all those years. And we're going to leave these names up the rest of the year and be reminded that all of you guys have a role to play here at Allen Creek in the larger kingdom of God. So Aubrey is going to... watch your glasses. Aubrey is going to close us out with a prayer this morning. So if you guys want to bow